Okay, turn your Bible with me, chapter 39 of Genesis. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand? If you came here without a Bible, keep your hands up high so we can hand out the Bible to you. All right, anyone else? Don't sit there without a Bible, please. You need to follow through. Chapter 39 of Genesis. All right, we'll start. Temptation is the oldest inner conflict of a human heart, in the human heart. It started as early as Genesis, and it was started from the Garden of Eden. And people were struggling, Eve was struggling, because serpent brought this suggestion, you will be like God Most High. You can take that fruit, and you will not die. Temptation, there's not a one person who haven't struggled with, including Jesus Christ. However, temptation, exception of Jesus Christ, there's not a one person who have not suffered through the consequences by yielding to the temptation. Temptation, somehow we think that right away is something to do with the sexual temptation. There is more than sexual temptation. I see the three different temptations. Number one is material temptation. Some of you guys want a Corvette or Lamborghini or Ferrari or whatever you feel in the blank. Some of you like to be in the particular position, status, social status or whatever that is. I want to be powerful. If any of you guys are politicians, sometimes I bash politicians real bad, so sorry if you are. Sometimes they want to be the powerful man or woman. That's the personal temptation. Number three, we all know well that it's a sensual temptation. That's something to do with the physical pleasure. So keep that in mind, but it's not. We are going to study about sensual temptation, but it's not only applied to sensual temptation, but it applies to any type of temptations. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your anointing to be upon the word and me, and forgive my sins, for my sins are many. And asking you to open our heart to receive your word as is, and so that we may fight against the temptation and resist, and sometimes we have to flee from this temptation. Let us keep in mind what you are telling us, and when the time comes, let us do exactly what we have learned from this study. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 39 in Genesis. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelite who had taken him down there. Underline next phrase, short phrase, please. The Lord was with Joseph. That is very important. And he was a very successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, again on the line, and that the Lord made all that did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. All that he had, he put under his authority. So it was. From the time that he had made him for overseer of his house, all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was all that he had in the house and the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome and in form and appearance. Joseph could be bitter. If you don't know the situation, he was sold to Ishmaelite, who is a trader. They did a lot of trade between the Ishmaelite territory and the Egyptian territory. And they're on the way to the Egypt, and Joseph's brother, 10 brothers, decide to sell him instead of killing him. Might as well make money out of that guy. And he's down here in Egypt where the language is a problem. He doesn't know anyone from Adam. And he's stuck in this place. And from the doting father, as a favorite son of doting father, to the slave of this Egyptian foreigner's family. He could be bitter. He could reject God from his life. Yet he, instead of having his own pity party, God's blessing was upon him. Why? Because he was willing to trust God. That's the reason why we find time after time the Lord was with him. That is a very important point. I want you to keep that in mind, please. God's blessing coupled with Joseph's personal integrity was showing to his master. Folks, I'm sure the majority of you work. And if you're working for somebody, this is the work ethic we should learn from Joseph. He was working such a way that his master, his boss, was seeing Jesus in him, God in him, and giving glory to the Father in heaven. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's talk about this temptation. Eskimo people has an interesting way to hunt down this infamous Alaskan wolves. They don't chase these Alaskan wolves down the road, but they have a very simple way. They simply put the blade, very sharp, razor sharp blade, in the snow, upside down. Before they put this blade in the snow, they put the blood, the sheep's blood, on the blade, and then freeze it, and put the blood again and freeze it. By the time they finish it like this, sticking out from the ground, but he put it in the wolf's trail. And the wolf come around, and of course the blood, fresh blood smell cannot escape the ultra-sensitive nose of the wolf. And the wolf come and start to lick the blade. Because the blade is so cold, it numbs the tongue of the wolf for a while. But however, he tastes the blood, fresh blood. While he's licking, guess what? Razor sharp blade cut his tongue of wolf. And all of a sudden, now he's tasting the warm blood of his own, but he doesn't realize that it's his blood. You follow me? And he starts to lick that blood more vigorously. Next morning, Eskimo hunter just go back to the trail and find this wolf bleed to death, not realizing that he killed himself. I'd like to make 4 points out of this one. Number one, please make a note that they put their blade in the area wolves are familiar with. What am I talking about? Devil does not attack us when we are spiritually fully alert. But he attacks us when our guard is down in the familiar territory. During the time while we are all completely alert, he's not going to attack us. When our guard is down, he attacks us. Number two, wolf's tongue become numb so as it licks a frozen blade. When we get into temptation, folks, listen up carefully. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. We tend to forget everything. We tend to forget about our family. We tend to forget about our friends. And we tend to forget about the most important thing, our God. We forget about the consequences. We are willing to lose everything we gain for a long time, for a moment of pleasure. It is no wonder in Proverbs says, temptation, this sin, is for a season. Third point I'd like to make is a wolf starts to bleed and he doesn't even realize he's bleeding. While we are in the middle of the temptation and falling into trap, we don't even realize we are going for the trap. If you notice those who are sinning against God falling back to the wall, the backslide, they don't even realize that they are in the pigsty. They continuously enjoy that little bit of a pleasure. Fourth point I'd like to make is wolf get killed by bleeding to death. As the time goes by, the longer we are in temptation, the more difficult for us to get out. Pretty soon, we will be completely trapped in, and will be the time we have to realize there's no hope for it. Is it completely hopeless? No, it's not. Turn your Bible with me to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And some of you guys know, some of you guys know already where I'm going heading to. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. If you're born again Christian, let me make a preface. If you are born again Christian, it doesn't matter whether it's alcohol, pornography, or drug, whatever the temptation that is, you have advocate for you in your heart. First of all, this 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the one who is telling us that no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. Underline common to man. So don't tell me that your temptation is so big that you couldn't handle it, so you had to go for it. Your temptation is no different than mine. My temptation is no different than yours. The difference between a person who goes all the way down to the trap and then the person who doesn't is a person making a choice. I choose to fall for it. This wolf chooses to lick that blade. He could have said, this is a man's blade. I'm not touching it. He could have walked away, go around. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. It didn't say he will stop you. You are able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We can all bear it, or we can walk away from it. There's no such a thing as the devil made me to do it. You and I make ourselves to do it. One more verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Of course, this is a famous verse, 1 John 4, 4. You of God, little children, have overcome them. Here's a key point. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who would that be, the he? The Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have that guarantee, deposit from God you receive in your heart. He is the one who can protect you. If you are willing to yield to him, he can protect you. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, please. While you're turning, listen up, please. If you try to overcome the temptation with your own strength, I guarantee you, you will fall for it. Because we don't have enough strength, we don't have enough willpower to fight against the devil's temptation. With the Holy Spirit's power, we can fight back. Chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, infamous chapter. Verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year, number one, which put the number one there, at the time when the kings go out to the battle. And David sent Joab and his servant with him, and all Israel. They destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem, and it happened, number two, one evening that David arose from the bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman. And number three, from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about woman, and someone said, underline next sentence again, please. Is this not the Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then, number four, David sent a messenger and took her, and she came to him, and she laid with her, for she was cleansed from the impurity. And she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, I am with child. Again, I find the fourth faults, one after another, by the David, King David, that led him to the sin against God. Number one, at the time the kings goes out to the battle, the David sent Joab and his servant with him. Why in the world King David is not in the battle when all the kings are in the battlefield? Why did he send Joab to the battlefield while he was lounging around in the house all the evening? He got cocky. He got too confident. And he was thinking that Joab, General Joab, could handle the battle without me. I don't need to be there. Again, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, please. 1 Corinthians, bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Some of you guys thinking, if you're this the first time, why these people keep on turning the pages? That's what we do in Calvary Chapel. We go by what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks stand, take heed, lest he fall. If you think you can handle whatever the things, guess what? You cannot. I guarantee you, you cannot. You're playing with the fire. If you're like me, if I like the rest of people, we cannot handle temptation. Stay away from temptation. That's the best thing for you. Second thing I find back to the 2 Samuel. One evening, David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. He had way too much time in his hand. On the way here, my wife and I were talking about the teenagers in America. The teenagers in America have way too much time in their hand. They're not busy enough. That's why they get in trouble. Do you disagree? They have way too much time in their hand. Keep them busy. Give them homework or whatever, I guess. This guy, the King David, has way too much time in his hand. And we all have a tendency, when we get bored, we come up with something stupid. Again, the Proverbs says, idle hands cause a problem. If you're like me, you sit around, do nothing, and you start to come up with some weird thinking. Don't you? Don't look at me like I never do anything weird. Yeah, right. Third point. From the roof of he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Folks, there's nothing you can do when the birds fly over your head. But there's something you can do when the birds try to make a nest on your head. Okay? When you drive, sometimes you get to see the billboard has that thing, something you should not see. But when you try make a U-turn and go back and look at that billboard again, you have a problem. Okay? Second look, second glance tend to start to bring you down. Nothing wrong with the temptation itself. Temptation itself is not sin. Hook with the bait itself is not sin. Guess what is the problem is? Bite. When we take that bite, that they take the bait, that is a problem. You know, if you remember right, King David had 300 concubines and wives. I don't know how he remembered all that ladies' names. Probably he had to use some sort of a computer to keep up with all their names. However, he had all these 300 wives, yet he wanted this woman. You know why the problem was? King David was told by God through the Mosaic law, king should not have more than one wife. There's a reason for it. When God said it, there is a reason for it. But this guy did not control the passion. Guess what? He's already losing battle. Even though he had 300 women at his disposal, but he wanted another one. It was nothing more than one night stand. It was not a love. It's nothing more than lust. Our carnal desire cannot be satisfied. The more we add, the further we're going to go into it. Whether it's illegal drugs, one line of cocaine, or one puff of marijuana, or a sip of a beer, you name it. A glance of pornography, a click into the internet porno website, whatever that is. If you put that in your heart, your body, your mind will demand more. What are you going to do? You can turn away, come run to God, or you can click, or drink one more. Dude, that's good. What good? Is that really good? At the moment we suck into the temptation, God becomes quite unreal. Listen carefully, please. If you haven't got anything so far, get this, please. If you get into temptation, all of a sudden, everything becomes unreal. Only thing is real is temptation, the one in front of your face, the one in front of my face. We forget everything, as I said before. And Satan is not trying to put the hatred in your heart against God. Satan is putting forgetfulness of God in your heart. Very subtle. Oh, don't worry about it. You can go back to God. You can go see God in the morning. Or you can read the Bible at night. Just this once. And you listen to it. You fall for it. Our God is gracious to all of us. He reminds us. He gives us a way. No more than what we can handle. And He gives us a way to escape. Guess what God did for King David at this point? He sent the soft-footed servant to stand behind him. Is this not the woman, daughter of whoever, and wife of Uriah, the Hittite? And when somebody introduced during the Israeli time, they always introduced, this is son of so-and-so, daughter of so-and-so. Never said wife of Uriah, the Hittite. That means, hey, boss, she is a wife of one of your soldiers. Ding dong. What are you thinking? You know what David did? Ignored him. David sent a messenger and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. David still had a choice, but he chose to ignore God, forget God, and he did what he wanted to do. 300 women is not enough, so he had to go for another one. King David brought a terrible consequences to his family, to his kingdom, and most of all, he brought an opportunity for the enemy of God to blaspheme God's name. Verse 7 of chapter 39, back to Genesis, please. Chapter 39. Don't sit there. Well, you turn your Bible. No, you turn it too. God is speaking to you. And it came to pass after these things that his massive wife, cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Well, I guess that's a kind of direct approach. But number one, he refused and said to his master's wife, that's number one, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Number two, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's number two. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, and then number three, he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Verse 11, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment and saying, lie with me. And number four, but he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Again, I find the 4 points here. We looked at the bad things about, you know, pretty much a suicide by the wolf and self-destruction by King David. This time we are going to learn the good lesson from Joseph. Number one is he refused and said to his master's wife, please remember, Joseph is a young man. By then, somewhere around between 17 and 20. If you remember your young time, number one, probably you're going to look at your picture and you're going to think that, wow, I was skinny. You'll never go back to that thing, so forget it. Number two, that you will remember you were running by the hormone. And the young people, you are running by a hormone. If you don't think carefully, that hormone will rule you more than what God's word will rule you. Joseph could say, no big deal, nobody's here, I don't know anyone. Besides, you want me, it's not like I asked for it. He could go for it. But he said, no, I will not do this. I will not sin against God. He wouldn't allow himself to fall for his master's wife's temptation. Number two, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know what he did? He brought God into the picture. I will not do this for the sake of God. And then he reminded her about her marriage, the sanctity of marriage, and trust between Joseph and the master, Potiphar. None made sense to her. She didn't care. The only thing she cared was self-gratification at this point. Let me put it this way. I'm going sideways. Many times, sex between the unmarried people and extramarital adultery is a nothing, most case, more than the lust. Okay? Nothing more than lust. That's not what God intended. So if you think you are in this situation and you think that, oh, I love her, I love him, you are mistaken. And also, you're fooling yourself. Number three, he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Joseph did not take a chance of being with her. He stayed far away from her. Folks, you play with the fire, you will be burned. The word God says. Fourth point, he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. This guy just cannot keep his clothes on. Last time when his brother took his clothes off, and now this woman taking his clothes off. Whatever you have to lose, walk away. Some people say, well, I ordered a Playboy magazine. I paid whatever the amount. If I say no to it, I'm going to lose that money. Duh. What, are you stupid? Lose that money. Whatever you have to do, lose it. It's better than going into temptation. Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin, what did he say? Plug your right eyes. If that's the case, there's going to be a lot of one-eyed jackets around here. He's not making a little, but he's telling us whatever it takes. Most instances, this issue of sexual lust dealt with in the New Testament about fleeing. So there's some temptation, God says, resist. When it comes to sexual temptation, God says, flee. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 again, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. What is the first word? Flee, run, dash. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that the man does not outside, is outside body, but he who commits a sexual immorality sins against his own body. One more verse, you don't have to turn. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust. Let's go back to Genesis 39, verse 13. 39:13. So it was when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, that he has brought into us the Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me and to lie with me. I cried out with a loud voice, and it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, and he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept the garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with a word like this, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me and to mock me. So it will happen, as I lifted my voice and cried out, and he left his garment with me and fled outside." Mrs. Potiphar was humiliated. Her demand for having sex with this man turning into fury. It's been said heaven has no rage like a love to hatred turn, nor the hell of fury like a woman scorned. Now she wanted revenge. She wanted blood. And she was going to make everything she can to make his life miserable. Verse 19. So it was when his master heard the word which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this matter," that his anger was aroused, and that Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison in the place where king's prisoners was confined. He was there in the prison, but again, verse 21, we find but the Lord was with Joseph. Underline that, please. Showed him mercy, and he gave him the favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything there was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him again. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Probably he's the only prison inmate to walk around with a chain of keys, access to any place. Joseph did the right thing. So he ran outside away from the temptation. So he should hear the praise from God and his angels, right? Instead of praise, he ended up in prison. What kind of justice is this? And you may say, well, life ain't fair. God is not done with him. He had to be trained more. God had to chisel out the rough surface. If you're in a difficult time, God is working on your life. Be obedient to him. You'll get it. It's been said the Christian is a lot like a tea bag. You don't know what it's made out of until you put it in the hot water. Folks, temptation is out there for us to fall for it. Devil wants you to go for it. But God in you, who lives in you, if you're a born-again Christian, will help you to get out of that place. Listen to him. Run away from the temptation. Let's make application. Number one, do not give yourself any opportunity to be in temptation. But if you somehow end up there, run away from it. If you linger, you will fall for it. Number two, this is very important thing, guys and gals. Don't think that this is only guys' problem, because there's 11% of women who visit the internet, use the internet, go to pornography site regularly. 11%. And you know what the major problem with the women nowadays? They have an internet affair. What do I mean? In the chat room. Be careful whom you're talking to in the chat room, ladies. There is a strong power against you while you are being tempted or sinning if you are keeping in secret. If you are in the progress being tempted or in the sin, talk to somebody, to the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Soon as you do that, soon as you reveal your sin, you'll be surprised how fast that power of sin goes away. So reveal your problem. Make yourself vulnerable. Number three, by yielding to temptation, we may lose in a moment what it takes a lifetime to gain. Is it worth it? Think about consequences. Number four, we must remember that Satan does not hear to fill us with a hatred against God at the time of temptation, but he helps us to forget about God. Number five, the temptation we experience are not more than we can handle. We have a helper in our heart to resist, to overcome the temptation, if we are willing. Everything is based on if we are willing. Let's stand up in prayer. Folks, I don't know where you are with God. I don't know what kind of situation you are in. You might be right in the middle of temptation, right middle of the sin. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Don't look around. As I said before, if you can see me, I can see you. Don't look around. If you're going through this temptation and you haven't revealed that thing to anyone yet, and if you're in sin already, it's a time to cut that thing off. It's nothing more than hangman's noose. It will hang you high and dry. So I'm going to ask you in a quiet moment, if you're going through that temptation and you're going in the middle of sin, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anyone? Okay? Anyone else? You can put your hands down. And if there is anyone don't know Jesus Christ, you are vulnerable. You don't have anyone to fight with you, fight for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you need an advocate, that is the Holy Spirit. Only way you can have a Holy Spirit and the only way you can go to heaven is accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your heart so that you may have hope and love and true life, raise your hand, please. Okay. I want you to repeat after me with the man who raised the hand. Heavenly Father, I know I have sinned. Please help me. Put your word in my heart. Help me to run to you more than running to the temptation. Strengthen me with your word. Guide me with your strong, righteous right arm. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad you came back. Thank you. All right, let's sing one more song before we go. Please remember.